What the shit? He stole our title card? Fine, just throw up the generic one, hit the music. It's fine.
The hood is all of us. And incidentally, none of us as well. Hi folks, welcome to another episode of Real Geeks. As you can see, we've seen Robin Hood, and we're here to review it today. Got my buddy Spencer here as well, actually. He's a filmmaker himself. He's got quite a few projects he's got on the go these days. And you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about those projects?
Yeah, so my name is Spencer. I've got two new films opening or on streaming online this week and next. One is called Same Nightmare and one is called Jeff Falk, Therapy for Me. I'm also a comedian as well. I perform the greatest comedy festival in the world, and that's only the beginning. So I'm excited to be here to review Robin Hood.
Awesome.
And now, since it's my fault we're doing this, we'll take you back to last month for a moment.
we could have done Ralph Breaks the Internet. We could have done Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. We could have done The Nutcracker. Hell, we could have done Overlord. But we're going with Robin Hood because this guy's too giddy about it.
So, quick plot summary. After 5 long years in the Crusades, Robin of Locksley has returned. Sorry, no, that's Arrow. Yeah, no, fuck it. I mean, Robin Hood has been in film for 110 years. If you don't know the basic story by now.
There's a reason why it's called a public domain property. This is just somebody else's take on the story. And honestly, we shouldn't even have to have a spoiler alert for this because...
Yeah, so if you don't know the story of Robin Hood by now, what rock have you been living under? I mean, Disney did a retelling of it. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's just get the most obvious thing out of the way. For a story about the most famous thief in history, holy shit, this movie steals from a lot of places. Like, my God! Like, character-wise, like I've alluded to already, I'm sorry, this is season one Arrow. This steals from season one of Arrow to the point that Iron Fist is going, God damn!
Yeah, and honestly, I got a few elements of, like, Batman Begins in there, too.
Yo, that was, of all the places to steal from, they go to DC, and they go to DC hard.
Yeah, so basically, last year, we got a movie called King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. And Mike can attest to the ridiculousness that was.
But that was so beautiful.
And this coming from the guy that likes B-movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, basically, what that movie ultimately was really trying to do was, quote-unquote, establish a King Arthur cinematic universe. Because everybody wants to have a cinematic universe nowadays, and they were capitalizing on the whole craze of comic book movies.
Yeah.
And trying to play up King Arthur in that style. This movie basically does the same thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, would you like to guess why Columbia Pictures bought the script? To set up their own cinematic universe.
Yeah. This movie was trying to be a comic book of Robin Hood so hard.
And, like, I'm sorry, like, even the characters, like... The only way that they could have been more blatant with Robin himself is he was actually played by Stephen Amell.
Which I think would be an improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Stephen Amell.
I'm scared of the thought of Stephen Amell trying to do a British accent, but other than that...
Hey, I'd give it a go. I really would.
I mean, I would love to see it. I'm just not convinced it would go well.
Yeah.
And, like, Marion, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
She was...
I want to hear your take on Marion.
She was
honestly.
Laurel Lance to the point that I swear she got acting notes from Katie Cassidy. Because start to finish, that character was written the same way. But the single ballsiest thing that this movie does, like we mentioned, they steal from Arrow hard. They steal from Batman. And then they had the nerve to steal from the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern.
I am interested to hear where you saw that, because I personally didn't.
I didn't see that either, I'm not gonna lie.
You remember, the scene in Green Lantern where Blake Lively makes the joke about how easily she recognizes Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan.
Hal? Oh my God, Hal!
How did you know it was me?
What do you mean? I've known you my whole life. I've seen you naked. You don't think I would recognize you because I can't see your cheekbones?
Right. I see where you're going with this.
Almost line for line.
Well, it fooled everyone else.
Which, and you know what? Even with that, they stole from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. Because the degree to which Robin loses his mask, over the course of this film.
That's true. That's very true.
He may have broken Spidey's record.
Actually, on that note, too, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Because, first of all, Robin Hood has been away for 5 years.
So I don't know if it was 5 years. I made that up for the joke.
It was four.
Wait, I was actually close.
Yeah, he was gone for 4 years. He was he was declared 2 years previous to his coming home.
Yeah.
Declared dead.
Yeah,
so it was 4 years.
I knew you were really close. But yeah, he's been away for 4 years. And then as soon as he gets back is when the thief starts coming around. I do not look at Robin Hood and say, oh, that's probably you. That would be the first person I would look at. Because for 4 years, this wasn't happening. And then the moment you come back, also too, bear in mind, the first person he gives money to is Miriam.
That is again, season one Arrow. Even that.
That is the biggest red flag that I can think of. If you were looking for a theme.
Oh, no, I can top that.
And then on top of that, he's trying to get in good with the lords and the sheriff in Nottingham. It's like, there are so many red flags. Hell, you look.
Anyone who runs around dressed as a bat must have issues.
Right? Yeah. Right? He's just a smashing grabber, nothing more.
That's not even the most blatant. Jamie Foxx's character.
Oh my God.
Who. The man is channeling Morgan Freeman to a degree that I respect.
I even said that last night! Oh my God.
But the character of the Moor does not come into the Robin Hood myth until the early 1980s with a TV show on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently the people behind Prince of Thieves thought he was supposed to be there, and that mistake was how we got Morgan Freeman's character.
Which I greatly enjoyed.
Oh, yeah!
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Costner. I love Morgan Freeman in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, when I saw that Jamie Foxx was in the movie, and I saw that he was playing Little John, okay, so he's going to be taking over that character. I got that.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry, he sounded awfully American for being somebody who was from Arabia. In England. In what's supposed to be, what, the 13th to 14th century?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. You do not go to this movie for historical accuracy.
No.
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 I question if
there
was anyone that did.
So. Literally, as long as we're talking accents, I'm sorry, the only person who maintains their accent in this entire movie is Taron Egerton.
Yes.
Because he didn't have to try.
No, because that's his accent. I was also going to say, like, I don't think Taron Egerton was the only one who had a consistent accent. I thought that Ben Mendelsohn did as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
He,
and surprisingly, Jamie Dornan had his actual accent in the damn movie.
Okay, I'll give you Jamie Dornan. Mendelsohn is debatable because there are points where his voice goes into this low growl, where it sounded like he either dropped his accent or for some reason adopted a different one.
Yeah.
But...
And, oh my god, when the...
Speaking of Mendelsohn, who, in this movie, is playing every character Ben Mendelsohn has ever played since he hit the big time.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say this right now. If they ever do a Donald Trump biopic, there's no way Ben Mendelsohn does not play the lead.
Except they had done a Donald Trump biopic and they had Johnny Depp in the role.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it was a TV movie.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
How well did Johnny Depp do? No?
I'm still like, what?
I can't picture that.
As Donald Trump.
Yep.
Okay, well...
This actually came out around the time of the election, too. And then, but getting back to, like, the accent thing, then you have F. Murray Abraham. And as soon as he showed up on screen as the Cardinal, I was like, did you seriously drag F. Murray Abraham into this shit?
Oh, I was like, you didn't have the money for Jeremy Irons, did you? Because F. Murray Abraham... All the respect in the world to the man as an actor.
He's a really great actor.
Let's face it, he's budget Jeremy Irons.
Considering I thought it was Jeremy Irons.
I was hoping, but yeah, like there are, literally, I'm not even done listing off all the places that this movie steals from. Which is the amazing thing, because...
Like, this, we haven't really gotten into the meat of this movie, and we're still on just what this movie has borrowed from or stolen from in terms of this or that. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but on Rotten Tomatoes right now, this film, I'm pretty sure, stands at a 15% for critical reception.
I am not surprised.
And a 50-some percent for audience reception. And the critical, but the part that really got me was the critical consensus, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it basically says that this movie steals from the rich source material, but turns out to be just another schlocky attempt at using modern special effects and budgets to spice it up with action and whatever, but doesn't do much of anything else with it.
And I just have one question. Did either of you see really either of the live-action G.I. Joe movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Because, I'm sorry, the Sheriff's soldiers were Cobra Vipers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they raided that wardrobe.
It would have been nice if they could have at least raided it from the right era. That was my biggest...
Yeah.
Half the movie, I'm sitting there going... Because the wardrobe was just wrong. I'm sorry, but Marion's first outfit, the one that we first see her in,
mm-hmm.
Very beautiful outfit, long flowing scarf stacked as a skirt, and the obligatory cleavage shot because her shirt was cut down to here and then corseted up. Not the right era, folks.
See, my big thing with Marion was, like, this was a character that, let's face it, throughout the many different tellings of Robin Hood has always been sort of that eye candy kind of character, and the one that's been sort of the love interest and not really much more beyond that, per se. But this film, what kind of angers me, honestly, is that this film has her as that at moments, but then there are other moments where... She seems to be kind of standing up and being kind of her own woman, her own character and everything. But then within those moments, they literally either do nothing with it or they undercut it with something else. And it infuriates me to no end.
Like she's trying to be the advocate for the common folk.
Yeah.
Poor Lance!
Up to and including the point that while the Hood has his own little shtick going on, Marion's got something going on as well.
With Friar Tuck.
With Friar Tuck. The two of them are conspiring against the sheriff, against the crown, trying to catch the bad people at play.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like, the entire Marion Tuck subplot, somebody behind the scenes went, oh, we should probably give those characters something to do because, man, that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, it ends up being sort of that Deus Ex Machina moment of like, we have the evidence against the sheriff and the cardinal and all this stuff.
Yeah.
We have no idea what we grab because the writing is, you know, Arabic.
We shouldn't know where to find it.
But Tuck magically knows Arabic.
That, with Tuck being part of the church, I could go, okay, maybe? But
they know
everything else.
Yeah.
And, like, with your complaints about the wardrobe inaccuracies, I can cover everything we could possibly say about the wardrobe in this movie with two words. Machine stitched.
Yes! Oh my god! And if you could have close-ups, like actual in-face close-ups, oh my god, do not have a machine-stitched article of clothing from an era that didn't have machines. Just, yeah.
What was up with the sheriff's leather jacket?
Pleather. Pleather. Please do not insult leather.
Fair.
I'm telling you, he borrowed his wardrobe from Ready Player One.
The clothes were
too fitted. There's no way he didn't.
The clothes were way too fitted. Oh. I mean, this is an era of like chainmail and leather plating and plate mail and jerkins and tabards and
it looked,
lacing and corseting.
It looked like a higgledy-piggledy mess of various clothing from various eras just happened to all commingle in Nottingham.
Right down to the fitted, what is it, argyle or wool blazer that Loxley had. I mean, granted, royalty and all that had outlandish outfits, but...
Come on.
Fitted clothing! Just...
Even with it, like, I could have almost let that go... Because they were honest, and like they were saying in the promo interview things in the pre-show, that they weren't trying to be historically accurate.
Right.
Which, you know, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Then we come to this sequence during the Crusades where Robin and John, whatever his Arabic name is that I'm not even going to attempt, notwithstanding, like where they meet. That director wanted to make a Gulf War movie. So badly.
Right?
Because, like, they did also say in the pre-show that they wanted to basically do scenes where they're using, like, bows and arrows as guns. If you're gonna be that blatant about it, go all out and put the story in the modern day.
Now, one of the funny things that I discovered last night in ranting to my daughter about this, who recalls Romeo and Juliet with guns?
Mm-hmm.
Who played Romeo?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who was one of the producers of this movie?
Shocker!
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, I found that out when I pulled up the IMDb, trying to find it. You know, do they specify where they were set? Like, is there a time frame for this? Because, again, if you're going to be that historically inaccurate... Go all out. Yeah. Rocket Robin Hood. Perfect example.
Yes!
Okay? I love Rocket Robin Hood because there's no way that it's that set in the past. So they can totally play with it. Yeah. But some of the outfits were reminiscent of the correct era.
Yeah.
And then you've got the five or six different outfits that made Marion, wore throughout the movie.
Now I want to talk about the characters in this film because. That's what I had the most problems with. If you're gonna make a film, you should make a film with deep motivations. Every decision in the film that Robin Hood makes is not his own decision. It is a decision of either trying to win the affections of Miriam, or being with Will or John. There's no decision made by Robin Hood that's like his own decision. It's all with lazy motivation.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with it mostly. Because there's no... I mean, the reason... For example, the only reason he gives the money to the poor, and because he hears William say, I wish you would give it to the poor. Which again is another lesson.
Yes!
Like, but how?
Come on!
No one pick up on that.
Yep.
But again, there's no. He doesn't make a decision for himself after he gets back from. Even when he goes to war, that's not his own decision. He gets the letter that forces him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, while he was away in the Crusades, he did make his own decision.
But he did
too.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
For one, he tried to save the character, Jamie Foxx's son. Didn't succeed, which is how that character is introduced and brought over to England. Stows away on a boat because he thinks that Locksley is the one. We're not sure what the one is, but he thinks he's the one.
They never clarify that, do they?
Yeah, no,
all you
hear is
stows away
on a boat
of,
for 3 months.
Yeah, pull the tail, see who bites. Okay. But,
catchphrases, and kids.
yeah, that I'll give you that. That is one decision. But once he gets back to Nottingham, it's all over to him.
Yeah.
And about Ben Mendelsohn, because we did bring him up as well. I gotta tell you, I couldn't get into his performance. It was so overplayed in my opinion that like there was. Well, and that's just Ben Mendelsohn, really. I mean, I couldn't really get into him in Rogue One. There's some performances that are fine. But for this one, I just felt like he was really throwing it all in, which is good for some films. But this one just felt a little bit overplayed, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. Everything in this movie was overplayed.
Oh,
everything!
Yeah, but it almost makes the argument that he knew exactly what movie he was in.
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, though, Ben, dude, somebody needs to tell you this. You have been typecast hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Literally, his next role in a theatrical release will be as one of the main villains in Captain Marvel.
Oh, shocker!
At least in that one, we aren't going to see his face because it'll be in, you know, make up for Skrull kind of thing.
True.
Can we try to get me going in for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
Because the sequence in the film where they're fighting in the big final climactic battle, and the two of the main characters, William and Robin Hood, stop and take a prolonged kiss under this damaged wreck.
Yeah.
And first of all, why is that the time to do that? Because there's chaos happening, there's a big battle, and you take the time to just have a passionate kiss, only for him to see you, and for him to, and well, guys, turn to the dark side, and just completely set up the next film. The only
they even got the burning in there, too, like they did with Anakin.
Not even Anakin. Go back to the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That man is Two-Face.
Yeah, that man literally is Two-Face, yeah.
But the only reason that Jamie Jordan becomes his own for this setup for the sequel, which, that, in my opinion, that is the boldest thing they do in the film, because after all of what they do in the film, they have the audacity to say, alright, now on to the sequel.
Yeah.
But the only reason that Jamie Jordan becomes the bad guy for the next one is because a hate of that one moment, the one passionate kiss. And that just strikes me as a little bit lazy.
And I think they're like, on the one hand, it's just a blatant trope, pure and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm pretty sure the man is trying to get away from 50 Shades just
so
as far as he
hard.
Can. That he will just take any other franchise he can possibly get.
Well, he did the My Dinner with Jose with Peter Dinklage. That was good. So he has it in him.
Oh yeah, no, he has it in him. But
a lot of go back to even Twilight. Like a lot of the actors in that movie had it in them. It's just they had fuck all to work with, and now that the franchise is well forgotten by a lot of people. They've moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So same thing's gonna happen to him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But this is not the movie to do it with. I had a blast watching the action sequences. They were mostly well choreographed.
Yeah.
Aside from like the odd little inaccuracy here and there, particularly with the archery.
Which I need to stop you right there.
I was trying to set you up for this.
I need to stop you right there. Because Spencer, you had mentioned Robin's agency and like making decisions for himself earlier.
Yeah.
And what I would say is it's not as blatant and painful as Jim and the Holograms, where I swear to God, I timed this. It took, from the start of the movie, it took 48 minutes before Jerrica Benton made one decision for herself. Another thing that, and I have to call Robin Hood out on this one, because here they pulled one of the same stunts that Jim and the Holograms did in its promotion. It's the director kept talking about how this was, he's just been wanting to do this movie for his entire career. 10-year labor of love, blah, 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 blah. And then you go on IMDb, read the trivia section.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it is how rushed into production Gem and the Holograms was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and again, with Robin Hood, going back to the pre-show, I think it was either a director or producer, like somebody behind the camera, was talking about how they had invented all of these new modern archery techniques for the action sequences. Now, I have my iPad here because I screen capped what the IMDb trivia says specifically about those action sequences. YouTube sensation Lars Anderson of Denmark was hired to teach the cast archery. Lars Anderson was made famous for creating a YouTube video where he showed extraordinary skills with a bow and arrow, giving him the nickname Real Life Legolas. Amongst some of his skills, he is able to hit incoming arrows mid-air and shoot and hit three marks in a single jump from the ground. To increase his speed, he uses an, and please note the emphasis here, ancient technique that requires him to shoot with his draw and not cross the arrow on the bow like modern archers do. This technique is used by Robin in the film. Liars! And I'm sorry, there's no way I was letting that pass. All that said, as much as we have ragged on this movie for about 35 minutes now,
yeah.
In all honesty, like Friday, I had an absolute shit day. By the time I got to work, I was stressed out, furious. Had to go across a city and a half to get to a screening of this movie at a decent time. But, holy fuck, I had a blast!
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, don't go into this movie for anything remotely resembling substance. It's a popcorn flick.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean you throw popcorn at the screen?
I'm sure there's some screenings where somebody will. Obviously, this is as good a time to go into ratings as any.
Yeah.
And
three.
I went into this, as I told you two off camera, I went in expecting something as batshit insane as King Arthur Legend of the Sword was. That's not what I got. It's like, Act 1 is basically a generic YA movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks out in the hood. And I immediately just said, okay, here's the movie I came for. Mm-hmm. It's not as crazy, but it's just as much fun.
Absolutely.
Like, I left the theater smiling, laughing. Like you said, it's a popcorn movie. It's a 4. I had a blast.
Okay.
And I want a sequel. I will take that shared universe if it's going to be this dumb.
They did leave it open for a sequel.
Yeah. Okay. Next time, just go all out insane.
Yeah.
Because, like, as I mentioned off camera once or twice, I have heard rumors of another Robin Hood film coming.
Set in the future. Yeah.
If it's not on Sherwood Asteroid, if there are no electro quarterstaffs, and no random musical numbers about Brotherhood, I'm not interested. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You have to play the Rocket Robin Hood theme at some point in time during this, please.
Oh, we'll get that in somewhere. Because if this movie can steal from other properties, by God, so will I.
So my rating, again, Robin Hood is one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite stories, I should say. I was supposed to be in the school production of Robin Hood when I was in, like, grade 4, something like that. So Robin Hood has been with me for a very long time. I actually still have a VHS copy of the Disney version of Robin Hood. If you go into this with the idea of this is a Robin Hood retelling, I would give it a 2.
Yeah.
For the love of all that is holy, I saw a purple hoodie. And if you go into this as a movie, a way to kill time, just a date night, whatever, with no expectations, I'd give it a 3. So, I'm, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'll explain why I'm doing it this way. Now, I've seen 4 films this week, all of which are being released this week, and all of which appeal to me in different ways. So when I look at this compared to the other films, I have to say a 2.5. And that's because it is strictly down the middle. This film, the stuff that's good in this film is really good. The stuff that's bad in this film is really bad. There's no common sense in this film. But at the end of the day, it does reflect to some degree society. I guess it's a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
No, because the sheriff wasn't an allegory for anyone.
You could almost make the argument to anyone. Almost. If you really tried.
I don't think I would have to try. Like I said, Bette Midler is playing Trump in the inevitable upcoming biopic. Yeah. Really, as much fun as I had, mm-hmm. as much as I thoroughly enjoyed it, and as highly as I rate it, I'm not defending it.
No.
At all. If you rate it lower, I am not going to argue. Because, again, it's not good.
No.
Purple hoodie. Just purple hoodie.
And on that note,
when you're even stealing the Arrow's first season nickname, my God!
Yeah. And on that note, I think that's a good place to wrap up this review. Next month, we'll be talking about Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse. We're returning to Sony, folks.
Yeah, we just complete Gluttons for Punishment.
Actually, I think that would be good, though. I like the directors behind it, so...
Yeah.
I have more confidence in that one than I ever did for Robin Hood.
Well, let's be honest, this was not a movie you should be confident about.
No.
But yeah, with that, since at least one of us should probably start remembering to say this, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe buttons.
Leave some comments below.
Watch for Trevor and I in the Team Nova videos on this channel.
Yeah.
And you can check out my films right now as well, if you want to.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us, Spencer. And until the time comes when I finally come up with an original sign-off, we'll see you at the movies.
That's a wrap.
Come gather around me, space travelers, surround me, hark now to the ballad of Rockin' Robin Hood. I may well confound you, astound you, spellbound you with heroes and villains, the bad and the good. Watch now as our rockets race here from afar, for now with our Robin we live on a star. 3, 2, 1.